Lest the words to the songs and the scripture have rushed over you like a strong wind this morning and you're not quite sure how it all fits together. This is the story from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then God formed humans from the dust of the ground and breathed into them the breath of life. And the humans became living beings. And the Holy Spirit came upon a young woman named Mary. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And when it was evening on the third day, Sunday, the first day of the week, the risen Jesus came and stood among them. And Jesus said to them, "As God has sent me, so I also am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking words in the native language of each. Peter raised his voice and addressed them with these words, "Let this be known to you. These are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young women shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And Peter shared the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and about 3,000 were baptized and became believers on that day. Peter was empowered by the Holy Spirit to use his breath to create words that moved people to believe. About 12 years ago, I learned that these three, breath, spirit, and word, are bound up in a trinity as surely as the Creator Christ and Holy Spirit. I had been ordained and was ready to find a church to serve. I was here with you, but we had an interim pastor, and everyone expected that when you called your next permanent pastor, it would not be me. I didn't know where God would send me, what church might call me, but I thought I would have a better chance of being called by a church if I didn't sound quite so much like I had just come in off the back 40. If I lost just a little bit of my Texas twang, lost just a little bit of my Southern drawl. So I began to work with a speech coach, a wonderful woman from the University of Texas who began to teach me about grounding and projecting and breathing, which is how every word starts. One day we were in the sanctuary and she was encouraging me to use my words and make sure that they made it to the back corners of the room. "Those people need to hear you too," she said. give your words to them too. And I couldn't quite get there. It felt strange to try to give my words to the back rows, to speak with that much power and conviction, to breathe that deeply, and to use that breath to create words that strong. But after a few failed attempts, I began to think about those people in the far corners of the sanctuary, the actual people, and their names, and their faces. And I remembered a lesson from my Hebrew professor: breath and spirit are the same word. And then it came to me, my words are just words, formed by my breath. They did not seem that valuable. But breath and spirit are the same word. Ah, I said. Now I understand. I can give the people my spirit. Peter didn't give the people simply words on that day that 3,000 became believers. He gave them his spirit. And from that time, 100 million preachers have used their breath to create words that carry their spirit to the people. And sometimes, as when a preacher shares the words of God's unconditional love for all people, the people's spirits are lifted. And sometimes when a preacher shares the words of hate, division, prejudice, legalism, and judgment, the people's spirits are crushed. Breath, words, spirit, the gifts of God given freely to all people. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. The words of George Floyd, the echoes of Eric Garner. Today we celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the recognition of the gift of the Holy Spirit. We use red to symbolize Pentecost because it reminds us of the tongues of flame that descended on the crowd in Jerusalem 50 days after Easter. Those flames continue to be on my mind today. Those flames and the ones that have burned this week in Minneapolis and now in other cities. In case you've forgotten, since junior high science classes, a fire needs two things to continue burning after it started: fuel and oxygen. At Pentecost, I believe the divine spark that God had imparted upon humans came into contact with the two elements necessary to keep a fire burning: fuel and air. They possessed fuel, something with form and substance in the gospel, and they had air in the breath of God, the Holy Spirit. We celebrate the flames of Pentecost today. We mourn the flames of Minneapolis. What is so different between the two? They begin the same with the divine spark that God has imparted upon humans, all humans. But the flames that consume and destroy in Minneapolis are fed by a different fuel and air. George Floyd, and his name could be Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, Botham Jean. George Floyd was murdered by men who do not believe that the divine spark of God rests upon black men and women. And now the flames rise on the fuel of black bodies and the air of prejudice, racism, and the supremacy of whiteness. The flames rise while we are devastated by a coronavirus pandemic that gives us cover to once again turn our attention away from our epidemic of discounting black lives, an epidemic that is more pervasive, longer lasting, and further from a cure than is coronavirus. An epidemic that we aren't even seriously trying to mitigate. I can't breathe. George Floyd said, and it was not the first time our nation has heard that plea, "If you can talk, you can breathe," said a Mississippi mayor. And it would be so rational, so simple to believe him. But follow his thought to its logical conclusion, and every person who has ever said, "I can't breathe," was lying, including the millions whose lungs are inflamed by COVID-19. I don't have answers right now for the flames that burn in Minneapolis, but because the flames of Pentecost still burn, because they still rise on the fuel of the gospel and the air of the Holy Spirit, I believe that we, people of faith and decency and compassion, will create answers and will find hope and will move beyond the complacency that kills. I challenge all of us to do these things with the same sense of urgency for which we are seeking vaccines and cures for the pandemic. My friend, Reverend Amelia Fulbright, wrote these words for Pentecost. "Sometimes the Spirit comes as refiner's fire, burning away all prejudice, indifference, hatred, and complacency. Pentecost is not a gentle, holy day. It is meant to startle us awake and open our lips until those at the center of power learn to speak the language of the oppressed. May the heart of white America," she says, "burn with a passion for justice so that our buildings don't need to be set ablaze." And from Kareem Murphy and the Reverend Dr. Dwayne Davis, pastor of All God's Children, MCC in Minneapolis, two black men writing on behalf of the Global Justice Institute, I want to share these words. "Because black lives matter, we must act. Because black lives matter, we must pray. Because black lives matter, we must confront the historical roots that make life precarious for African Americans. Because black lives matter, we must see the Spirit of God in each and every black child, man and woman. Because black lives matter, we must hold all law enforcement accountable. Because black lives matter, we must force elected officials and appointed government leaders to stop killing our brothers and sisters. Black people must be allowed to live. Black people must be allowed to thrive. Anything else amounts to our turning a cold shoulder to the Spirit of God that rests within each one of them." Mr. Murphy and Reverend Dr. Davis answer this question for us. What can we do? You can move beyond frustration. You can channel your anger. You can produce the change needed so that black lives will, in fact, matter. If you are an ally, they suggest, you can force the difficult conversations with family and friends around white supremacy, racism, and anti-black thought. You can attend to listen and learn a Black Lives Matter rally, many of which are now live streamed or held in virtual environments. You can elect black women and men to public office. You can write your local elected official at any level of government to express your outrage and demand change and broad accountability to the community. You can pray for black mothers, black children, and black siblings that they find some comfort amidst repeated losses. You can read the hard truths about the over-policing of black communities, learn about what it is really like to live in constant fear of law enforcement. Law enforcement who, let me say my words, have among their ranks both wonderful justice-seeking members and prejudiced vigilante members, as does every organization. And let that lead to empathy and action. Several years ago, when we heard the words of Eric Garner, "I can't breathe," and my heart was so broken by the continuing lack of value for black lives, and continued inaction on the part of people who looked like me, I promised that I would wear my black robes once a month as a sign that black lives matter. And then all of a sudden we were between buildings for a year and a half, and for all that time we quit wearing robes, and I let that go. And even now we only wear our black or our robes occasionally. So I understand that it's time for something else. And so now I propose that on the 5th of every month, the number 5 for Pentecost, we dedicate ourselves to actions that demand justice for black and brown people. A church that is named Uprising was named for such a time as this. Let's dedicate the 5th day of every month to Black Lives Matter. Let's hold one another accountable for that. And for all of you who wear brown and black skin and are contending with the daily assaults upon you for driving while black, jogging while black, sleeping and eating Skittles and playing with your nephew while black, please let us know how to best be with you. Let us know what you wish we would do, what we would see, what we would understand, what we would fight against, and what we would fight for. And please, don't give up. Don't quit hoping. Breathe. And may God bless you and keep you and be gracious unto you. May God smile upon you and grant you peace. And may we, as white people, bless you and keep you and be gracious unto you and offer peace to you. Amen. Friends,